Thank you. Hi, Judy, compulsive overeater. A little bit nervous, I have to say, as I always am. And I just want to say, I'm not going to say during the meeting, I heard somebody share, I heard somebody share. Otherwise, that's all you're going to hear from me. So you may actually be quoted during my share today. Oh, I forgot to start the timer. Sorry about that. I read the four today this morning, and I thought this would be perfect for, really, my story about my experience, strength, and hope. And the line that really stood out to me was, relapse is the only alternative to the OA program. And I just thought that was so incredibly powerful because I'm either in OA or I'm in a relapse. No happy resting place for me in the middle. It truly is one or the other. And I have tried to live life without OA, and I was in a relapse. So, I've had some people say to me, Judy, I don't know, I just think abstinence is really easy for you. And, but the truth is, I've been in program 36 years. Today is my 12-year anniversary. So it took me 24 years to finally get this. The way my recovery went was in my first recovery, I was probably abstinent for 5 or 6 years. And then I relapsed for 5 or 6 years, where I more than doubled my weight. I'm going to show some pictures. Then I came back and I was in program just for a few years and then relapsed again for a few years. And then I came back a little over 12 years ago, right before Hurricane Sandy. So really grateful that I did. I am going to show you some pictures of me. So this first one is that is my father, not my husband. But this was what I looked like after my first recovery. I don't have a before picture, but I'd lost about 145 pounds. And then this was me about 6 years later when I gained back like 160 pounds. Then this is me. I just came to the first time. Before I came back to this program, I did not get back up to 300 pounds, which was a miracle. And then this was me at Thanksgiving. And I need pictures of me periodically for a reality check, because my tagline, I think, was always, if I can only lose 10 more pounds, then life will be good. Anyway, so what I was like, I do not remember a time when I did not want more food. More food was all I cared about. And I didn't know why, but I never questioned it because it was the only life I knew. And I remember hearing the man who works in the monkey cage thinks it smells fine until he goes out and smells the fresh air. So since I lived in this disease, since I was a little kid, I didn't question why I stole food. I didn't question why I was afraid to eat in front of people. It was just my way of life. And as I've shared on this meeting, my dieting career, which it was, started at age 7 when I went to diet camp for 2 months. And I knew from that point on that there was something wrong with me. I didn't know I was fat before I went to diet camp. And I didn't know that was me. And then the rest of my life was spent trying to stay on a diet. And I realized, trying to stay on a diet and lose weight probably occupied 99% of my thought life, and it probably squashed every goal and dream I ever had because I thought losing weight had to always be at the top of the list. Never wanted to stop eating compulsively. I just wanted to be able to stick to my diet and lose weight. I had so many insecurities growing up, filled with crazy fears, thinking people were going to come in and kill my family during the night, afraid to walk on the street that I'd be kidnapped. And food was my comfort without realizing it. I remembered I went to a small school, so it was obvious if you were picked on, and these kids on the bus picked on me. When I remember getting off the bus and they would scream at me, "Judy, have your mother brush your hair." I had long hair. I just guess she never brushed it. And then I went into the house. And my mother would say, "Okay, you can take what you want to eat." Open the oven door, and there were usually a huge assortment of little frozen things that came in those little tins. When I was younger, they were real popular, and so I did. I took what I wanted. My house was filled with a lot of heavily processed food, and a lot of starches and fat. Very little sugar. And so starches were always my go-to because you could really eat them in massive volume. And I remember, at some point I looked at the box and the box said like serving for 4 or 8, and I always had to eat 2 boxes at a time. And the progressiveness of my disease became in my capacity for volume. I mean, that same drive to have to get more food stayed with me. And that did not progress because it was so strong that, stealing food from my own refrigerator with my parents, so afraid people would see me and shoving it down my pants and running to my room and eating it as quickly as I could. But my capacity for volume was huge, and it really progressed. There, I just can't even tell you how much I could eat while thinking I was going to die. With my jeans cutting into my stomach or whatever I was wearing. And I wanted to still eat more. And I have this memory. I was in a bad car accident, and I had to go to the dentist and get a lot of teeth replaced. And I was filled with Novocaine. And when I came home and my mother greeted me in the garage with, I'm not going to mention foods, but it was a box of frozen things that were fried, and they came with 35. And my brother and I always split it. And I started to eat mine, and I couldn't. The food was dribbling out of my mouth from the Novocaine, but I still insisted in putting the food into my mouth. I had to eat it. Food to me was a magnetic draw. Every promise I made, I would bring my abstinent lunch with me to work, eat lunch on the way to work. I just couldn't have food in front of me without eating it. And if we celebrated a holiday and the refrigerator was leftovers, I couldn't wait to go down in the morning and take a big pile of cold, whatever it was that you don't eat cold. I had no peace if there was food around me and I could not eat it. And I ate alcoholically like a drug addict. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you could physically be addicted to food or not. But all I know is there are certain foods when I put into my body, I cannot stop eating them. It's impossible for me. And just for today, I'm not willing to take a chance to see if that has changed, which I don't believe it has. When I went to college, I probably got up to 300 pounds for the first time, maybe over 300 pounds. College was, I graduated 1/10 above what you're allowed to graduate to get a degree. It was just a crazy time for me. A lot of drugs, a lot of pot, a lot of food, a lot of insane behavior where I risked my life. Just crazy stuff I did, like all of us. And anything I share that I've done, I'm not unique because I know you've done it too, or somebody on this meeting has done it. But I did able to manage to graduate. I remember though, I would never eat in front of people in the dorm rooms. Like if they had ordered in the big round stuff, I would just sit there, and I would go to parties in a big heavy black coat, sweating like crazy, because I just thought somehow that would hide the size of my body. When I came out of college, I didn't even go to my college graduation. I went through a really hard time, bad car accident, my grandmother died. And I gained so much weight. I do not know how much weight I gained, but I stopped going out of the house for 2 years for fear of how big I was. And I get that show where people weigh a few hundred pounds because my mom brought me my food out of love. She probably had no idea how to deal with me, but I will tell you that was the scariest time of my life because I didn't know if I'd ever leave again. I remember looking at the front door window and watching the kids walk to school and crying. Because I wanted to go out. But I used to live in the backyard. This was a long time ago. I plugged in a phone out there. I brought out a portable TV. I put it on a bookshelf, and my dog would come out with me, and I would stay out there for half the day. It was nice. But it was during that time I think I became really addicted to daydreaming and fantasizing, and I'm so grateful for those fantasies and daydreams, because they gave me the hope of a better life one day. And I never had the desire to kill myself at all, because I truly believed someday I would lose weight and life would be good. I had no idea how. And you know what? It happened. But I have to remember that I don't need those daydreams and fantasies today because I could really get addicted to still doing that when my life is good. And I had a friend early on in program who said to me, Judy, why don't you try living in reality? It's a really good place to live. So, my OA program, the first recovery, huge, strong. Woo. As I said, I was a legend in my own mind. I was there. I was sponsoring a million people before cell phones. I was speaking. I was doing service. I just thought I was all it, that I could eat food that I wanted now and not gain weight. Pride and ego were rampant. I was living a life of total dishonesty the entire time in program, not with my food, with my behavior. I was with Nancy. I've been with two relationships in my life, Nancy for 8 years and my husband Dave. Now we're married 30 years. And the entire time I was with Nancy, I lived in emotional relationships in my head with other people, men, women. It didn't care. It never cared. And I was sneaky. I had befriended somebody from Arizona, a guy I never met. And I did exactly what my mother did. I opened up a post office box because she had things with other men. And we started writing and exchanging emails, not emails, photographs. Why I'm with this person. Total life of dishonesty. And what I realized, if I'm dishonest in any area of my life, it's going to lead me back to the food, because somewhere deep down is that guilt, remorse, and shame. And I am going to share with you about honesty, something I just did here at a meeting, where a woman said, and I thought it was so incredible. She said, if you're not honest with your sponsor about your food, you're not even in the game. It's like bringing a tennis racket to a bowling alley. And I thought that was so incredible. So honesty with my food and my behaviors is huge for my recovery. And I just had to let go of two behaviors before. They weren't bothering me, but I felt they could open the door for my disease, so I had to let them go. I left program. I was probably in relapse for about a year, gained 50 pounds back before I'd even admit I was in a relapse. Went through a real hard time with my parents. Both were sick, both died, and I definitely ate my way through it. Came back to OA and I cried. I went to a one day a retreat we had. I think it was Unity Day or Idea Day, one of them. And then I was so afraid to go back to meetings that nobody would recognize what I looked like. But I came back to OA the second time, worked a really half-assed program. I was out there in my head. And of course, I left OA. And then, I'm going to tell you the scariest thing about relapse, my last relapse, I did things I swore I'd never do in my entire life. And I have to remember that when I'm in relapse, everything is on the table that I will do. There's nothing that I'm not capable of doing, no matter how horrible it is. Because when I'm in a relapse, I'm not in control of my life, my diseases. And for some reason, my disease, like when I'm in my disease, everything I think is really good for me is leading me to total destruction. I have everything backwards. And the worst part is thinking that I can control my food and my weight on my own. And that's why I love that quote. I'm either in a relapse or I'm either in the OA program. And what came to me the other day is that if I leave OA meetings and I'm not eating, I'm in a relapse because the food is going to follow shortly. I need my daily connection with all of you to stay in recovery because I learned how to work my program through all of you. So I do want to share just a little bit about the emotional and spiritual recovery. Emotional recovery, I never had any until this recovery. I think about 3 years ago, my sponsor started saying, in some of my nightly reviews, Judy, those are all just low self-esteem issues. I'm like, what are you talking about? No idea. It was such a problem for me. And my confidence was zero because, and I know I've shared this, I grew up and believed and built life around the lie that I was not good enough because of my body size. And I made choices in my life. I assumed people would not like me before I even met them. It was just how I lived. And I even struggled in OA meetings, not feeling a part of. And I can still feel that way. I think we all can. Just feeling like a reject for so much of my life was horrible. And I will share with you, I always felt I could have written a book called Lies My Mother Told Me. And there were three things. My mother had the disease, and I believe the lies are generational. And the three things she told me was, Judy, if you're overweight, your friends and your family are just not going to like you as much. And I believed it. She said, after my first job interview, Judy, if the job's between you and a thin person, the thin person's going to get it. So I really didn't, I had a good career. And then the last thing she said, jokingly, kiddingly, Judy, you look fine from the front, just don't turn around. She had our disease, never meant to cause me harm. I love her more than anything to this day. And she died in 1999. And I'm sorry I never told her about the OA program. So I do have to touch on this spiritually. I'm going to make this quick. I made this came in as a non-believer, and for whatever reason, I just grasped God like I had to, and then I wanted religion. Religion was going to be the answer for me, so I became a Catholic because it was the strongest religion I could find. I was Jewish. I think I mentioned that. I was so screwed up. I was so infatuated with the priest, Father David. And this is why I was in a relationship with Nancy. I was convinced he wasn't interested in me because he was gay. And this was after I lost all my weight and did all my step work. So, and then I started dating my husband who was getting divorced. And I thought, what would be worse, marrying a divorced man or a man who's still legally married? And I knew the Catholic Church wouldn't work. And I just want to add, why I was a Catholic, I didn't, if you weren't a Catholic, I didn't think you had any true religion. Once I left the Catholic Church, if you were a Catholic, I thought you were crazy. So I just swayed with the wind. And so my idea about God has really changed. I read a book about 2 or 3 years ago that finally let me understand what spirituality is. And as I got in my two-way prayer letter today, I cannot box God in and who I even think he, she, it, they, the universe is. I will never be able to comprehend God, but I do know my God keeps me from eating every day. And otherwise, I'd still be eating today. So, yes, I do believe what it says, God is everything or God is nothing. And a God is everything to me, my best friend, my everything. I talk to God all the time. And the one thing I want to add about that is, we say you can write your own description of God. And I realize that description is who we have to be to ourselves. I want my God to be loving, forgiving, not judgmental. We got to do that for ourselves. So I do want to close with dreams do come true. So I am going to share two pictures. And in a million years, if I ever thought I would have met some people here in program, I would have thought it would have been impossible. So I am going to share this and talk about it. So I had the honor and the privilege to have Nancy, Claire, and LJ from the 3 a.m. meeting at my house. And what a glorious time it was. We went out, and probably my sweetest memory was walking arm in arm with Claire. Gonna make me cry on the boardwalk down the shore. And if I ever thought I'd be walking arm in arm with Claire, I would have thought that was impossible. A bunch of us met in New York City. Gloria, I am so sorry you were not in one of these pictures that we snapped. But there's Matt, our Saturday secretary, Diane, our famous screen share and newcomer greeter, Teresa Z, Allie, Claire. And it was a joyous time. People must have thought we were nuts because anytime anybody came into the park and we saw them, Matt, we were all waiting for Matt. And all of a sudden he popped up in front of us. He's like, hi guys, just like Matt talks. We're like, so, I never thought that could happen. I took two pages of notes to read from. didn't hit any of it. I had all these great lines and tips and all this stuff to say. Don't remember any of it. I will tell you though, like the reading said, we're either in OA or in a relapse, and don't leave meetings because if you leave meetings, you're going to start eating the food. And I'm going to pass because my time is up. Thank you.